get soft if you wanna get soft with it.
Sometimes you feel you gotta love somebody, and that somebody is you. Sometimes we feel we need to touch somebody, touch somebody.
Soft if you
want to
get soft with it.
Hey, that's Kurt Bronneler.
I mean, like, this is how, I don't know what number episode it is. You're going to say my name like that?
How do you want
Brown?
Me to say it? I said Bronneler.
Oh, you said Bronneler.
First of all, I said Bronneler.
First off, you do this every fucking episode.
I said Bronneler, and we were testing mics, and we have witnesses here, and when they come on, they'll back me up. You said fucking Brownholer.
I said Brownoler.
No, dude.
Are you telling me that I don't know my fucking name?
I'm saying you know what you want your name to be, and you want it to be Brownholer.
And that's Joe DeRosa. And this is Emotional Hangs, a podcast about adult friendship.
Yeah, and vulnerability. So on the count of three, one, two, three, let's get soft. Are you good, buddy? We have guests today, so we won't fuck
around
too much
of a check-in.
Yeah, but are you good?
Let me do it. Let me feel my body. Yeah, I'm good. Are you good?
I'm doing pretty well.
Yeah,
I'm doing
good.
Pretty well. I felt pretty good these last few days.
Oh, look at that.
And I tweeted that it was good to be alive today, which was a really strange positive tweet for me. I feel like turning 40 has been a bit of a rebirth.
Really?
Yeah, I feel like it's a new phase. I feel like this is officially the second half of my life.
Uh-huh.
And
what most people do is they turn 40 and then they get sad, but it's like you've led such a pathetic existence up until 40 that it's like now you're a launching pad. You're just happiness until you die. Is that it?
I think it's that most people peak in their 20s, and I didn't come anywhere near peaking in my 20s.
Oh, no, I've not peaked yet.
No, my 30s were real juicy. A lot of crushing ass, drugs, booze.
I think that was true for me. I was in a 13-year relationship until I was 31. 31 was when I really started going for it.
Yeah, I felt
31
like
31 years old.
I felt like around 34, 35 is like when I started to stop whining as much.
Yeah.
And then like I started to not give a fuck around like 39. And now I'm like, this is great. I don't have to go do what everybody else does in their 40s. I can just be my own guy in his 40s.
You got one more year of feeling good. And then you'll peak next year, and then it'll be a slow decline.
40's the new 39, man.
There we go.
I don't know if you heard, but
I don't know.
That's what I say.
All right.
So let's bring our guests in. I'm very excited these two are here.
Very excited. I've known these guys for a really long time. They're fantastic people.
Yes.
You've been a big fan for a long time.
Yes.
They were in a little TV show back in the day, you might know, called Pete and Pete.
The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Mm-hmm. Well, we layman's called Pete and Pete.
Nobody did.
Nobody did?
Nope.
Everyone said the full name of that television
show. Full title
show.
Every single time.
Yeah. People every never said time. It was like, A-Team, they always say the A-Team.
Nobody says
people doesn't know what you... If you say A-Team, nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about.
Nobody says Pirates
you didn't say the
of the Caribbean. People say Pirates of the Caribbean, Curse of the Black Pearl. Where were you watching last night? Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End. So you know which one you were watching. Pete and Pete could mean anything. Say the whole title.
From the landmark series, The Adventures of Pete and Pete, please welcome to Emotional Hangs, Danny Tamborelli and Michael Morona.
Hey, guys.
Thank you. Hey, Kurt. Hey, Joe.
How's it going?
All right, man.
It's all right. This is great to be hanging out with some adult men.
Yeah.
I don't get enough adult men in my life.
Oh, good. That's how I feel.
We mostly have childish men in our lives.
Mostly.
Yeah.
Do you guys have families? Are you married with families? Are you single men?
Yeah, I have a son, Gerard,
uh-huh.
Who's 10 months old.
Oh, wow. Congrats.
He's, thank you. I told him to be born, and then he was.
Congratulations.
And, every day since then, I said, continue living.
Good, good. That's
good. So, he's kind of like how Kurt has control over our podcast if we could, if we keep going or not.
You do. You have control over whether or not your son lives or not.
Yes. It's you should let him live, though. That's,
yeah, definitely. Yeah. Otherwise.
Love him so much. Couldn't good. Be happier.
Nice.
Good. Are you a family man, Danny?
I'm engaged.
Look at that.
Nice, man.
So.
What's the date?
Cinco de Mayo.
Really?
Yeah, also known as the 5th of May.
What does your fiance do?
She is a literary agent and an author, a YA author.
She's a published cool. author. She's not just an author.
She's a published author.
Is she J.K. Rowling?
No, but in the same vein of, you know, young children's books that are also for adults because they read them too.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know.
Like Harry Potter.
Yes, but there's no magic. Well, she did write a book about a pregnant virgin.
Pregnant virgin?
Yeah, and she wrote the book before Jane the Virgin, which, you know.
Oh, I thought you were going to say before the Blessed Virgin Mary.
I was going to say, and she wrote the book 2,500 years ago, so I think we know where that story came from.
But what if it happened today? And what if it happened in a public school? And what if it happened with the internet and how people would react to it? It's actually pretty interesting.
Nice. That's pretty scenario. Great.
It sounds like it would be an interesting. I imagine there's a sort of a Scarlet Letter commentary in there.
Sure. No,
amongst others.
Well, yeah.
No, seriously.
I know. He's laughing because you heard Scarlet Letter. He's like, yeah. Adultering. Adultering is cool.
Hawthorne.
Wait, what's the name of the book? So we
it's called Immaculate.
Immaculate.
And her name is Caitlin Detweiler.
Nice.
All right. I will check out her work.
That's my first fiance plug of the podcast.
Right on.
I'm glad that.
So you guys, I mean, like, you guys have known each other since you were what, like 10 and 15?
7 and 11.
7 and 11.
28
you guys started,
years.
Wow.
Is that when the show started?
Yeah, 1989.
So I'm assuming you met on the show. You did not know each other.
They cast us and then they started rolling the camera. At that time, film was very expensive, but they started rolling the camera and said, Dan, this is Mike.
And
was that really on? That's actually on camera.
On camera. It was the first time we met.
Is that true? Danny.
Danny looks skeptical.
Danny's got a face.
Here's the thing, guys. Michael says a lot of things that sound like he's telling the truth because he says them with such conviction and honesty. Uh-huh. But he's a filthy liar.
I would assume they would have done a few screen tests.
He got both of you so quit. No, with screen tests. These are Nickelodeon promos.
Yeah, they didn't have.
Pete and Pete were interstitials that were basically commercials for the network in between commercials for advertisers
Oh, I didn't even realize it started as an interstitial.
Yeah, they filmed us on videotapes that they taped over the first few times that we made the show. They did not use original blank tapes.
The first couple were shot on Super Beta.
Yeah.
So it started as an interstitial sort of thing?
Just as to say, you know, coming up, this is coming up
and
next.
Will McRobb created those interstitials?
Will and Chris.
Will and Chris were advertising guys in the promo department.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay.
This tall with the shirts and the
hair.
It's very funny. Not funny, but it's interesting because a lot of this came together today for me. So if I just indulge me for a moment to talk about the show. This came out at a time period. I'm Mike's age, or a little older. So I was about, how old did you say you were when you started the show?
11.
11, yeah.
So turning 12.
I was 11 or 12.
You were 12.
Yeah, 12 and then 13, and then 14, I don't know. It was, you know.
And then 15.
And then 15.
It was a very good year.
Wait, hold on. Joe, did you just continue to age like 1 year at a time?
Yeah.
That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, but I skipped 19.
Oh, good.
Because it's for pussies.
Bold words.
But the time, particularly that first season or two, that the time this show broke, this was a very, very, to me, magical time in entertainment. This is like They Might Be Giants. This is Ween.
Mm-hmm.
This is right before Presidents of the United States of America came out. Like, this is a very, like, cool, interesting, fun, quirky time where there was, where a certain weirdness and darkness was celebrated through a very, like, poppy filter, you know? So I was thinking about, like, how today, I was walking my dog, I was listening to They Might Be Giants.
Which album?
I was listening to a mix I made.
Of all their music?
Of newer stuff.
Oh, okay.
Because I wanted to start to familiarize myself more with some of the newer stuff. And I was listening to it, and I was thinking about some of their... I remember when they used to host Nick Rocks on Nickelodeon, which was Nickelodeon's music video show. And they would play their videos, and one of the songs was Don't Let's Start. And one of the lines...
It's a great song.
So good.
It is. But one of the lines of the song is, everybody dies frustrated inside, and that is beautiful. And I'm like, they literally wouldn't let you play a lyric like that
on a children's show.
On a children's show now.
Until,
for the life of me.
Until us.
But then you guys come out too, and it's the same error. And it's like, your character has a tattoo on his forearm. Nobody makes a big deal out of it. Nobody's like, why does this 7-year-old have a tattoo of a half-naked mermaid also, by the way?
Well, she wasn't a mermaid. She was a woman. She had legs.
Oh, she just was in a dress?
She just had a dress. She was wrapped in a red dress with a little green frill.
Oh, okay.
Trust me, I've thought about her many, many times over the years, man.
You know, the mom
definitely hair? One of my top three.
Jerked off to your own tattoo. Yeah,
but the thing is, I look at my blank. No, yeah. I just look at my blank forearm and I picture her. You know, it's the same thing as you got the spank bank. It was my arm spank bank.
Right.
They're developing projectors now, so you don't even have to remember it.
Yeah, they 3D mapped my
right on the arm.
Arm projectors. But then the mom character had the plate in her head. And
yep.
There's a lot. I mean, also the amount of, like, at the time, what would be considered alt rockers on the show was off the charts.
The show's the theme song is, I don't know who the band is, but
Polaris.
It's Polaris. Oh, that's Polaris. Seriously?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've heard of that band. I didn't know that was them.
Yeah.
AKA 3/4 of Miracle Legion.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that band.
That was like,
well,
that
both
was
good
their,
bands.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. But yeah, that opening is like, that's like a Seattle type band. It's like this grungy kind of alt rock, you know, upbeat, but still like very like, I nearly lost you.
little Mark Lanergan, little screaming trees.
Screaming trees. So like it just, I kind of rewatching this stuff today and like listening to this sort of music and all this stuff, it was very like, wow, this was really a time. Like there was a lot in that show that was indicative of what was going on at that time. And that kind of irony, as they said in the They Might Be Giants documentary, that kind of irony, like when that hits you at 12, it's mind-blowing.
It blows your mind.
It changes you.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think 12 years old was when I've heard that first They Might Be Giants album, which had Anna Ang on it.
That's the second one.
That's the second album. Lincoln. That's right,
yeah, Lincoln.
And I remember just being like, I'd never heard music this weird before.
Sure.
And I fell in love with it.
Yeah.
And in the same way that I kind of fell in love with Pete and Pete as well. The Adventures of.
And then remember when you got into college and you got high and you had a friend that was like, oh, you think that's weird? Listen to this first Ween album. And you're like, am I in this song? Get me out of here right now.
My friend, we went to see Ween a little while back we had to ditch on the Ween show where Gene Ween plays Billy Joel songs.
What?
Yeah. As Billy Joel. That. There's like one in Bethlehem, PA, and one in Long Island.
Just pretends to be Billy Joel.
He channels.
He's such a lunatic.
And he kind of looks like him.
So funny.
He's got the bald head. Yes. He's packing on a couple.
That is so crazy.
They did just do a country album where it's a country band for a full album.
I know, and it's not even funny.
It's not funny.
Yeah. Well, that's like, and then they put out, the one after that, I think, was White Pepper.
Mollusk. The best ever.
That Mollusk is amazing. The song, The Mollusk, blows me away.
There's an oral history about it up somewhere. I'll let you know.
Of the whole album?
Of interviewing Gene about making that album. They went down to the Jersey Shore. They used to always be in New Hope. They would record down there. It was horrible. They got flooded. They almost lost all their songs. All their equipment got flooded. The pipes froze. So I just covered the whole oral history.
Wow. Oh, wow, man. I got
to
check
that out.
So I
guess you don't have to read it anymore. That's the complete abridged version.
Yeah. Give it to the business. Little business being given out.
So in this magical time with this great TV show you guys were a part of, And you know, were you fast friends? Did you not like each other? How did it go? 'Cause
you were coworkers, right? And also that's a big age difference for children. 7 to 11 is like you're essentially on different planets.
Well, I'm the oldest in my family.
Mm-hmm.
As am
so,
I.
So, right.
We're both the oldest of three.
Okay.
Right. Well, and so you were like a surrogate older brother to me.
Okay.
And so you were like an extra younger brother to me, because I already had one that I didn't need a first one.
I know. But and you then see, now you can understand where this is starting.
So
right? I'm like a little kid looking up to Mike. He's like, "Here's a cool band you should check out. You ever heard of Nirvana?"
As like an 8 year old or something, or a 7 year old.
I mean, I was. They were on the set in general. I really liked music, and I like had my first Sony, and like people would give me mixtapes, and
that's
my
pretty
parents
awesome.
Would have to like clear them, being like, "Well, yeah, you can listen to the Replacements at Billy. You're not ready for Billy Bragg. No, you can't listen to that."
No,
like,
Rob Zombie.
Would just put, you know, they would just make mixtapes for me. So I like
that's pretty
I was
awesome.
Like, I was walking around like listening to like. Murmur.
And was also like, and like Michael Stipe was on the show. The woman from the B-52s was on the show.
Right. The Kate Pearson.
Kate Pearson. Who else was?
Which?
Iggy Pop was on it.
And Magnuson from Bongwater.
Yep. Whose guitar amp did he Iggy
we,
Pop
we blew over. Danny's amp.
It was
sorry,
your amp.
Sorry.
Yeah. They were Iggy Pop was trying to teach Danny how to play. Which song was it?
TVI. Both of us. Mike was there too.
And he nice blew save, his like you. Little kid guitar amp out. Yeah. Which is so cool.
It was a bass amp that they had as a prop on the set for the when I had like a basement radio pirate radio station called Wart.
We kept all our stuff.
WART.
The show just basically kept all the props and stuff that they could and reused them throughout all the seasons of the show.
And
that's
I was like,
great.
Can I hit, that's a bass amp. Can I have that? And they're like, yeah, why not?
So you guys, how old were you when the show ended?
Ooh, that's tough. I think I turned 18 and then they got rid of us.
Okay. Yeah, I was 14.
And since we continued to stay 4 years apart, that makes sense.
Right.
It was after
There are times when it's three, isn't it?
Yeah, when there's an eclipse. There's an eclipse coming up next week.
Next week?
Yeah, and then there's going to be an eclipse that goes across like the middle of America. You'll be able to see this this eclipse.
I can't tell if you're joking right now.
No, that's
right.
True.
See, it's on Monday. Joe, it's intense.
Not this coming Monday.
You have to get your bullshit detector
out. I didn't even turn it up to level 10 for you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell if you were fucking with me or I was like, all right.
So the show ended, did you guys like keep hanging out or was it like a long span where you kind of like stopped hanging out
and got
back together?
We had downtime.
There was definitely some downtime. Yeah. There was like immediately...
We're in different tracks immediately because you were still in school.
I was going to be in eighth grade and you were going...
Into college?
You're a senior. Were you going into college? I think you had one more year, right?
I think I was doing my senior year over again.
So you actually both still were going to school while shooting in the summer or something like that?
Yes, mostly the seasons would start in July and go until December. So we would start the first half of each school year while also working.
And were you just like... kings of your schools because you had a television show that was like a cult classic
in a way, but if we were in kindergarten we would have been kings, you know, for the Nickelodeon crowd.
Right.
Well, different for Mike than me because I'm 4 years behind. So
you were a king.
No, I wasn't because I was the new kid.
Long story short, king.
So no, I was a king in my old school.
Yeah,
particularly when I came back from doing the Mighty Ducks.
There you go.
That
big
movie,
time.
Guys.
Big time.
Yeah.
A small film you may have heard
and,
of. Small,
you know,
big film.
That is big though. That movie was fucking huge.
It was a pretty big movie.
It started kids who were too short wearing trench coats. Remember that, Eldon?
Yeah, they wanted to be the cool.
Well, but and then all didn't
tall man.
Isn't the hockey team the Ducks because of that goddamn movie?
Uh-huh, that is true.
That's insane.
That's crazy.
Disney had so well to make a real one.
And it doesn't hurt to bring back a dozen signed headshots from Emilio Estevez to give to your friends.
No, you wait, did not. Yes, you had Emilio Estevez sign.
As a 10-year-old kid, I made Emilio Estevez sign like a dozen things.
Okay, okay, number one. And okay, number two.
I gave them names for all of them. He put names on all of them.
This one's going to Chachi. So this great. One's going to Joey. One,
yeah, no, make sure. This is the girl I like. Her name is Sarah Malone. Make sure you.
Sarah Malone.
Oh, nice
Malone.
Irish girl.
And that's another guy from that time. That's like, very indicative. I mean, of the time period. Estevez was the fucking man. Like, I remember when Young Guns 2 came out, me and my cousin were there.
Oh, yeah.
The only reason I like that Bon Jovi song is because of Young Guns 2.
Yeah. I like Men at Work. Men at Work was very funny.
For real.
Remember at the beginning of Young Guns 2 how he plays old man Billy the Kid? And everybody was like, when you were watching it, you're like, that's actually Emilio Estevez. Like,
yeah. At the mall.
Yeah, spoiler alert, guys, in case you haven't watched it yet.
You like that was the whole point of that was like it was like a Hitchcock, you know, cameo.
Yeah,
like,
yes,
I'm an old man.
that's so fun, man. That's crazy. So
when I moved in fifth grade, I was the new kid. And the only way I could win over friends was to get them to be extras on Pete and Pete because they shot it all in New Jersey.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, we're going to do a school field trip. And anyone who wants to be my friend can come.
You got to sign this W-4 and this release. And then you put a W-9. Yeah.
Now go wait in this tent, everybody. Have fun in the tent.
Exactly. In six
hey,
hours.
You guys want to see how a TV show is shot? Get over there and shut up.
In 6 hours, you get a bologna sandwich. It's a lot like the Tombs. Life had changed. Like, he was about to go to college. No. He was about to get his first,
when you graduate
unicorn kiss.
From...
You were about to get your first unicorn kiss in high school.
Right.
And I was...
Wait, what's a unicorn kiss?
Oh, Jesus. I think you've derailed. You've derailed.
It's a seltzer flavor.
Your friend, your adult man friend will explain it to you later.
Is this a reference to the other thing you guys recorded?
Yeah, to their podcast.
For the listener, we double up on podcasts, so what?
Yeah.
And the listeners has to, it'd be fun. It'd be like go back after you hear this and listen to their podcast. It'd be like the Star Wars prequels.
not the Sith, though. Not the Sith. Not the third one. Holy shit, not the third one.
If you were going to guess what a unicorn kiss would be like, a sexual act, what would it be?
Something without question, something with the asshole.
Mm-hmm. Give it to me.
I just did.
Like you rubbing your nose on somebody's asshole.
See, I was close. I said finger up the butt while kissing the asshole.
Close enough, right? Yeah.
Apparently it's putting glitter in your butthole and then farting for money.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah,
I'm your unicorn kisser, farting for money.
Have you done? You should do a Dean Wein thing where you channel
who's Tina?
Yeah, Tina Turner. Tina. Except it's all sex acts
through Dean Wein. Yeah. Oh yeah, we'll shoot ping pongs and we'll do donkey shows.
So you were finishing up high school. Show ended.
I did. Yeah, I didn't complete my first high school, which was an extremely nerd high school.
Mm-hmm.
But so my mother pulled a few strings and got me into the alternative high school. So that's what I did the first year after Pete and Pete. I lived on St. Mark's. I hung out on St. Mark's. I lived in the East Village. I played a lot of Street Fighter 2.
Mm-hmm.
What a great
Street
time.
Fighter, Street Fighter 4.
Three, I think 2.
3.
No. No.
It was like 96.
96? It was probably...
Giant Attack.
I just went through this whole thing with Street Fighter 2. It was like Street Fighter 2 Alpha, Challengers
it could have been
or whatever.
Alpha. Yeah, exactly. I was doing technical. I was doing technical hits.
Look at how fucking serious Joe's face gets.
I love... this is a great.
I know what the answer to this is.
This friendship has its ups and downs, huh?
I love this. Is everything? This is such a blast from the past.
You're in my wheelhouse, man.
St. Mark's.
Yeah,
you're living on St. Mark's.
I was
and
going
hanging out in St. Mark's.
I was going to City As school.
Great.
Getting in fist fights with the cast of Kids. Just kidding.
But around that time,
yes,
you could have.
I went to City Ed School where you get an internship and go to one class and you get your diploma. So I worked at a pacifist organization and went to one class and wrote a paper about Adam Smith and I got my diploma.
Wow.
Dan was still in high school, but I was at that point I started working as a bike messenger.
Yeah. And our paths crossed occasionally.
Yeah, because I was still auditioning. We were both still acting.
Okay.
What was that? When you're in 12th and B or 12th between A and B? 12th
between
like
A and B, yeah.
I went to his apartment once when he was living alone.
It looked like Joe's apartment.
It was a total MTV Joe's apartment.
It looked like Joe's apartment.
I'd never seen a New York City apartment before, like in like a someone who like lived by themselves.
Yeah.
Maybe been to like a
and whose mom didn't come over ever to clean up.
Queens.
Yeah.
But like this was like a studio, or it was a studio.
It was a one bedroom with the bathtub and the kitchen.
I never got to the bedroom. All I got to was the kitchen. That in between the kitchen and the living room was
the bathtub.
Shower.
Oh yeah, I remember.
I was like, "What
those
the fuck the is?"
And
I used suburban yeah. kid. I
and
was
it like a stand up? Did you have to like walk up the steps to get into it?
It's not. It wasn't that high. It was just, okay. But it was a clawfoot tub that you would step into.
Those
I left
the
my
worst.
Dirty dishes in there. You know what I mean? Because the sink was tiny.
Blew my mind as a kid, being like, I've always wanted to live in New York City,
but I don't think I do.
So sure.
Yeah, I don't think I do.
I like that it changed your mind.
I lived on the ground floor. There were like huge bars over the windows. You know, people like. These two dudes would fight in my. I opened up the door one time to the dudes who lived across from me fighting, and like there are two dudes who lived together, and they were in love, but they were having some domestic. And one was like, "Mike, call the cops," and the other one was like, "Mike, don't." And I closed the door again. It was like my most New York living alone moment. Open the door, watch this fight, and close the door.
That's
again.
How you do
call
it.
The cops. No, don't call the cops. just close.
I feel
no
like
problem.
It's 50-50.
Right. This is like the centrist, you know, Nazis kill, don't just, centrist.
You,
maybe kill
you
some.
You pull a quarter out and you flick it in the air and close the door.
God.
Hey, did you call the cops?
Two-Face killed his neighbors.
Yeah. If it makes you feel better, you did the right thing because I had a friend who was a plainclothes detective. He was a homicide cop in New York.
Okay.
And I witnessed somebody assaulting somebody once, and I said that I ran around the corner, and then but I didn't get involved. I go, should I have stepped in? And he goes, you never get involved. He's like, just keep moving, man. I was like, all right, I guess that's like New York.
Yeah,
he's like, if you want to get killed, you can get involved, but you know.
That's how the nice guy from Stand By Me got killed.
Oh yeah, they say at the beginning.
Yeah,
he got stabbed.
Stabbed at like
a
McDonald's or something.
But in real life, it was because of the speedball.
Yeah,
it's the same character. Same. It's River Phoenix.
Old River Phoenix.
Yeah,
outside of the Viper Room.
Yeah.
In this very town.
They should mesh those together. I'm going to do a cut of Stand By Me where the Richard Dreyfuss voice goes, "He died doing a speedball outside of the Viper Room."
Accomplish that, yes.
Oh my god,
it reframes the whole movie. You're like, this kid is this
it's
kid's
like,
gonna
this
be a real
piece of trash. Yeah.
Director's cut.
So like, you guys, when did you guys come back together and start becoming adult friends and no longer childhood friends?
We've gone to this well a few times,
yeah. Well, there were a couple times hanging out, like when we met up at an audition and his bike got stolen, and my dad had driven me in because I still lived at home with my parents because I was a young kid, and Mike had to get a ride from my dad.
I didn't know.
It was like the first time in a while
was nice
that I hadn't seen him
home.
In forever, and it was like, oh, Mike, cool, I haven't seen... Oh, shit, sorry about your bike. Oh, hey, my dad's got a car. Silver lining?
Was it a minivan, or was it just a car?
It
was
no,
a car,
it was
right?
Probably a Ford Explorer.
And we jumped in the old SUV, and he took me back to Heroin Town, which was so nice.
Oh, that's
where
nice.
I lived on 12th and A.
Like, oh, yeah.
I was in... Yeah, my cousin came over to visit me once. He was like, oh, you smoke pot? I was like, oh, shit. No, kid. Like, I didn't really clean up the apartment much when Dan came over.
God,
yeah, it was a bit dingy. I'll admit it. There was some dank.
But that's great, man. That's great. That was like the real New York. Those times are... I actually miss the times.
I think it's so great that in LA you can just walk into a store and just buy weed and then leave. You know what I mean? Like, that is a magic, miraculous thing that I could never do when I was in college, where I was always desperate trying to find weed. You know, that being like said,
coming up from gopher holes looking around.
Yeah, yeah. That being said, I truly miss like living in my dingy dorm and smoking like dirt fucking marijuana.
People's socks.
It meant a lot more. You know what I mean? Like, it had a lot more weight to it. So I think that's cool that you got to have a phase like that.
Well, this is like you had to like flip between the channels to watch Time Warner porn, as opposed to exactly. Right now you can just get on the internet for free.
Yeah, everything is at your fingertips.
There was more labor involved in all our gratification.
Now, at this point, are you doing the, because you were an ad, I don't want to say ad
man.
Yeah, that's the wrong.
I was an ad man. I was more of a madman.
That's the wrong term, but you were that character for, what was it, a brokerage firm or something?
For the online trading?
Yeah. 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 Is this that time?
So I continued acting. No, that first one, I think I did my sophomore year of college. Dan and I actually were still, I don't know if we hung out as much at that time, because I went out of town to go to college.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, I don't think so. That was the big dip was when I was in high school and he was in college.
Right.
Because we were really nowhere near each other.
So then after college, you guys actually just started hanging out again?
Well, after I got out of college, I moved to New York.
A freaky thing happened. I moved
2005.
In 2002, I moved to Greenpoint and I just stayed put in this one neighborhood. And there were concerts started to be played, and one day I'm just walking across the street, having been on the soccer field, and what happens, Dan?
You want to tell it?
What happens, Dan?
Danny, tell the fucking story.
It was a hot day,
and there was a show going on in McCarran. I think it was Beirut, and like, I can't even remember the other man. I could have been there.
I definitely have seen Beirut play at McCarran.
At McCarran?
The pool. When it was the pool, right?
Yeah, when it was the pool.
Definitely
parties,
seen Beirut play in the pool.
And I had been doing some heavy drinking the night before and wasn't feeling so good.
Okay.
And I had some.
So when we have our reunion,
I see him and I'm like, oh, my. Like, and we were talking for a second and then I just turned to him, I'm like, just give me a second. And I turn behind a car and I just vomit everywhere.
That is that is amazing.
Puke awesome. All over the fucking back
well,
of his car.
And talk about this. Like, this is the reunion, and it's like, we're not kids anymore.
You know? Clearly,
you're not the little brother anymore. Clearly. You're turning now and just vomiting.
I'm just like, you know, at that point, I was like, I've taught you everything. You can go.
That's great.
I was like, oh, I'm gonna wipe my mouth.
I love it.
What have you been up to, Mike? He's like, oh, I've just been playing soccer across the street. Well, that sounds healthy.
I think I was, at that point, I was playing with like a Peruvian team that their logo was just a big U in a circle, and they were sponsored by a dairy in Peru. A dairy in Peru. And like, we would cheer for the team. We'd go, Lau, the letter U. Lau.
So is that like how you guys have like, is that
we knew each other.
Model? Is that model continued where like you're the healthy one and you're the party guy?
We knew of each other's whereabouts before that. And I still know your house phone because you haven't moved. Like, I know your parents' phone number because you haven't moved and it's memorable.
It's very memorable.
It's mnemonic.
Still live with your parents?
No.
Oh.
No.
Okay.
Would we be friends if he still lived with his parents?
I don't know.
Maybe you should forget his parents' phone number then.
Yeah. It's very hard. It's very hard to. Off the air, I'll tell it to you, and you'll never forget it either.
Okay.
That was easy. Yeah. Jersey guy.
You guys live out here now?
No. Look at how pale I am.
Yeah. Where do you live? In New York.
I'm in Brooklyn. Yeah. I'm still in Greenpoint. 15 years later.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. I gotta make note of this. Particularly Mike's trajectory through these different locations. This is really blowing my mind. Nickelodeon, at the coolest all-grunge whatever time. St. Mark's, 96, like right in the shit.
Leftover crack playing at Tompkins Square.
Yeah,
Park.
Sure.
Greenpoint.
Kids mistaking me for Puck from the fucking Real World. Right. Who I look nothing like at all. Who I look nothing like at all.
Peruvian soccer in McCarran Park.
The
fucking
Greenpoint 2002. That's still when like Greenpoint is like the shit. Like that's still like fun ass Greenpoint. Like it.
I was convinced.
I'm jealous.
I was convinced my landlord was in the Polish mob.
He was.
Oh, he drove a garbage truck and still does, but he drives like this murdered out black CLK 550 or some shit like that.
Yeah, I move everywhere too late is what I'm getting at.
we're just like trailing the tail of the...
Like, I moved into Williamsburg, and I was like, well, that's nice. There's an Urban Outfitters right here. I, like, never get to the place at the right time.
I just followed his footsteps. So I moved to New York, and I moved to the Lower East Side, like the East Village on 3rd and Avenue C.
Because you're like, I
want to... In 2005, and I was like, I remember being here. This is... Oh...
It's really different.
It's different here.
But that's,
actually, it wasn't that. I mean, I live between C and D, and it still felt.
It still felt like
neighborhood-y. I like, for the time I lived there, I kept just being like.
How many $25 entrees? How many $25 entrees on Avenue C now?
How many what?
$25 entrees at restaurants.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I lived there from 2005 to 2010, and in 2010, it was like. There were, you know, maybe half a dozen $25 entree places on C. Now I can only imagine.
Yeah. When you were there, though, that was still like a pretty sweet, that was still a sweet spot of a time.
Yeah, it was.
But
it
and it's still
was.
Not too, actually, it's still not too boring over there. It's still like
no,
pretty.
No, but you're old. We're old. That's what happened. Right. Everyone else is still like, mommy and daddy are paying for my apartment because I go to NYU.
So it's like the reverse Dazed and Confused? Or it's the same as Dazed and Confused.
Well,
I keep getting older and they stay the same age.
Yes, but that's not, I mean, yes, that was said in the.
No, I'm saying like the kids who move. The
I
kids
do
who
remember
move
that
into
quote.
The,
yeah. That's a very memorable quote.
The
from
kids
that
who
movie.
Move into East Alphabet City continue to be the same age.
Yes.
And we're getting older.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And there's a point where it was like, you know what? I can't be here anymore.
Now,
here's what I took away.
You get not necessarily priced out, you're aged out of the neighborhood.
Here's what I took away from that, you saying that was. You get to a point where you have to go drink somewhere else. That's what I took away from that.
Yeah.
Because that's how I felt. I just got to a point where I was like, I'm not paying this rent to drink in these damn bars anymore. I'm moving to a more affordable neighborhood with
so
bars
I can drink
that
in
get
those
me.
Bars.
I am so glad you cut through all that subtext, dude.
That's all it ever is. It's
makes
just like,
sense.
Where can I go hang out affordably now? Where there's people like me that don't want to be around young kids, you know?
Joe, you're absolutely right.
So you get back together in the puke thing.
Wallowing around in a puddle of puke.
And when you start hanging out again. Now, do you find at this point that you guys are, is it fast friends all over again? Or is it like this sort of slow burn into like, well, this is weird. Like, you're a grown man now and you know, I'm a... more grown man now, and it's, you know,
the farts are all the same.
Yeah, yeah.
You start farting in front of your old pal, it all comes flooding back, you know.
So it was just like right pick up where you left off.
It really happens with pretty much anyone from the show.
There were details we needed to fill in on each other's lives.
Catching up. Like
sure.
Whatever happened to...
Oh, you graduated from a college with round diplomas. That's amazing.
Right. Round diplomas?
Yeah, I went to Hampshire College in Amherst, Massachusetts, and we don't get a diploma there.
You just get a paper plate with a smiley face on it?
Your professor writes a song about you and performs it, and there's a link somewhere on a Vimeo. It's a Vimeo.
I think Eugene Merman went to Hampshire, too.
Yeah.
His major was stand up comedy.
Yeah,
and he recorded an album for his graduation. In order to graduate.
Me?
Yeah, his first album.
I made a record because I studied music there, and then I also had to write 157 dissertation page dissertation. That's how it was so much that I can't even say page.
157 page dissertation
on the music industry.
On the music industry?
Yeah, which is so obsolete now.
It was the phrase.
Like, I wrote the worst thing. He's so stupid.
It was the phrase, music is rotted, one note stamped on every page.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't worry about those MP3s. They won't bother you.
Yeah.
Everybody needs a jukebox in their
bar. Have you seen the numbers for BMG? If this trend continues with BMG and Columbia House.
Hey.
The real money's in licensing.
yeah.
Royalties are the way to go.
Mm. Oh, excuse me.
Whoa, was that a fart?
No, it wasn't.
Oh, man.
I can get it on command.
There we go. That's nice.
I like
that's
that.
How I can show that it's not a fart, because it's on command. Because who can fart on command?
Nobody.
Wow, that is...
For the listener, Michael C. Marona raises
man hand. Of many talents.
Now, have you guys... This is... Let's get to some of the darker stuff.
Yep.
If there is any. We'll go one positive, one negative. What was the moment where you guys realized, and was it in your childhood relationship or adult relationship, where you guys realized, I will know this guy probably forever. This guy will be a family friend. You know what I mean? Forever. My kids are going to call this guy Uncle.
Oh.
Fill in the blank.
Interesting.
You know.
Oh, I was thinking he could dress up as Santa for my kids.
Mike used to come over to my parents' house over the holidays sometimes. So I think at that moment I was like, well, he's coming to December holiday events at my parents' house.
And this is when you're still doing the show.
When we were young. Yeah.
When you're young.
Yeah.
What about for
you? We played Breed. I remember a very tender moment in my childhood bedroom.
With the guitar, right?
I had two guitars and amps, and we were playing Breed by Nirvana together. That's
an emotional ingrained... hang.
So you lived the rock and roll lifestyle in addition to being on a television show that represented the rock and roll lifestyle.
Yeah.
Nothing more
like
rock
it.
And roll than being in your
parents?
Being in your parents' bedroom. Well, not my parents.
Playing Nirvana. That's pretty
and
rock
this was
and roll.
The, this was out. A time where you could go into a child's bedroom and shut the door. And nobody
unsupervised.
And
nobody judged you.
Right.
Oh, here it goes.
Until you started lighting the incense, and then mom was like, what the hell are you doing in there? I don't like that smell.
Another DeRosa rant about the good old times when you could go into a child's bedroom and shut the door.
You ever hear there's this Dice Clay joke that I love so much where he talks about going over to his girlfriend's house and shutting the door. He's like, yeah, I got the TV turned up loud so the mom can't hear us banging around or nothing.
Oh,
and he goes, I'm in there for 5 minutes. The mom's knocking on the door like, what are you kids doing in there? I'm like, hey, dunce, we're fucking. What do you think we're doing? You think I'm deaf? I got to listen to the TV this loud? Such a funny joke. Anyway, all right, so... Kurt's not a big Dice fan from way back, but I'm a Dice fan.
Yeah.
Is he from Jersey or Staten Island?
He's Long from Brooklyn.
Island. Long
Brooklyn.
Island. Oh, he's from Brooklyn?
I think he's from Brooklyn.
Sorry, I was trying not to claim him.
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn. Brooklyn or Queens.
He's
from Brooklyn.
Every other spot except the Brooklyn.
Yeah, I know. I was avoiding him.
So what is, now, okay, so that's
for him, that was solid.
But what's your moment, though?
Probably when we met Nancy Kerrigan.
Wow.
And then you looked over,
and I clubbed him in the knee.
And I said,
"Why?" I was like, "You're not taking my fucking medal." I said, "You're not taking my fucking medal."
Did you really do that in front of Nancy Kerrigan?
I left him on the ice, bleeding at what was it, Sky Rink in the city?
Chelsea Piers.
Wait,
I thought it was at Sky Rink. Oh yeah, Chelsea.
Wait a second. Hold on.
Sky Rink.
No, there was a Kids' Choice Award that Nancy Kerrigan was giving away in the 90s.
Right.
Or she just got to give one away because of an injury.
I just remember I was wearing my stupidest like spin doctor's hat. Like I had my knit. I had my knit hat.
It was the two.
Oh yeah.
It was the two princes skull cap.
Yep. Yeah,
that's what I remember wearing in that photograph. And for some reason, Nancy Kerrigan is holding Dan's baby sister, baby Melissa, even though she wasn't in a Nickelodeon TV show.
Right.
But it was wonderful.
Right, yeah, and then I got a picture framed.
And that's the nicest picture. Like when you go up the stairs at his parents' house, that's like this picture of
I thought
you
really,
me.
I know you didn't really club him. I thought you jokingly clubbed him in front of her and took the award. And I was like, that is the funniest joke.
Thank you.
Wow, that's really ballsy.
And then Kanye saw that and then did it to Taylor Swift.
I did toe pick from the cutting edge. Toe pick.
So there's a segment on emotional hangs.
Well, hold on one second.
Every time I try and get to this.
But because you always jump to it too soon.
I don't think so.
You
do.
It's always our closer.
You got a dark one?
But we never asked them. No, we never asked them, was there ever a fight? We got to get that first.
Yeah.
Was there ever a big fight? Was there a moment where you're like, God damn it, I hate this motherfucker. And then you have that makeup 2 days later where you're like, this is why this guy's like my best friend.
That is the best sex. That is the best. That makeup sex is the best sex.
Or have you ever fought? I mean, you just don't seem like two guys that are
yeah,
very
we do.
Fighting,
we definitely do.
We argue like any couple does over money, over what else?
But
money,
give us one.
Mostly,
give us one.
Right?
Yeah, give us a memorable good one. Fight.
Because that's an important part in a friendship is like the first big fight is like, we're friends, man. We fought.
Yeah. I think the first time I can, I don't really ever remember us fighting on the set.
No, not
like
on the
anything
set.
Anything was, as adults, as since we've been doing this podcast, we've had, you know, disagreements and stuff like that.
Creative differences.
Creative differences.
It's a creative
differences. I mean, I feel like that's really it. Like there, to me, there was a moment we were discussing doing a live show and he had an idea that I wasn't keen on. And instead of just, you know, hashing it out, I did the, well, I'm not doing the podcast if we do it that way. If you want to do it your way, I'm throwing that card.
It was ultimatum time. It was ultimatum time.
Yeah. It was ultimatum.
Okay.
Time.
How'd you get around it?
Yeah.
We just continued. We continued texting it out.
Yeah, it was a text out, and then it was a talk in a confined car for a 4-hour.
Yeah, when sometimes you save things for a road trip,
right?
And then you can
there's no way around it. Someone's driving, so they can't be fucking with it. Like, you know, you're trying to discuss something, and someone like takes out their phone.
Yeah,
and they're like,
sure,
you know, just fiddling with stuff, not completely trying to like,
sure,
you know, not pay attention. Well, you're stuck in a car, man.
This was before
not
Dan had
much
invented.
You can do.
Dan hadn't yet to invent fidget spinners, so we had no excuses with what to do with our hands.
That's true.
But you got through it over the 4-hour drive.
Also, he's a pincher. Mike's a pincher.
Oh God,
this is
one
thing
bruises.
That I really can't.
I leave bruises on Danny's back region when we take photos with fans at Comic Cons. You know, there's always like arms behind.
Yeah.
And then I'll just get to pinching once I'm back there, like busy fingers.
Yeah, but first he. First,
that sounded like a fucking lunatic. I'll just get to pinching busy fingers.
But I never pinch. But I never pinch the person who we're taking the photo with. It's only Danny.
You're right. It's only me. But what he does is he prefaces the pinching by saying,
watch out.
Dan's a pincher.
A pincher.
And then he starts pinching me as we're taking photos. And I'm like, oh, God damn it. And they think I have Tourette's.
This is something that we need to work through.
And recently
Dan was
recently,
like, I'm sick of you pinching
me.
I'm sick of the pinching.
It's not a fun game anymore. It was funny the first 150 times.
But to me, bruises is like we're making money because we're posing for pictures for money. You know what I mean? We're making sales. So that's what pinches mean money. I have to break that.
That's a line from Glengarry Glenn Ross. Pinches
only pinchers get coffee.
What's my name? Fuck you. That's my name.
All right.
Holy Lord.
Now right. We're in
what's
it.
Your fight?
Now.
We're in the segment.
Oh, do you have a fight you want to say, or was that?
Was that it?
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
It was a joint effort.
So this is our last segment. It's called Air It Out. This is a moment that you, both of you, are allowed to bring up anything that you feel might have gone unsaid between the two of you. Whether this be something that you liked or whether it be something that maybe annoyed you and maybe something that's been bothering you and you've just never found the right time to be able to be like, hey, this happened and I want to address it.
Yeah. And so it could be something super mushy, ago. Like that you just felt
can
too
we get two each?
Dumb.
Sure.
Sure.
Two each? Yeah.
You go.
Whatever
go.
You want.
Mike, you got one first?
No, I just wanted to start with a softball.
I want you to go.
I want to start with a softball. I really think you would have been better than Sean William Scott in that Goon movie. And I wanted you to say to Kevin Smith, hey, I'm a Jersey guy who plays hockey. See me. And I just wish there was something I could have done to help you and nudge you in that way besides, I don't know, nagging you about it many years after the fact.
That's a beautiful thing.
Oh.
I remember you, hey, dude, Kevin Smith's shooting this movie, Goon. Like, you should figure out a way to
I don't know where I heard about it. I was doing another job that he was directing that I heard it was coming up.
Yeah,
something
I totally
like
remember you saying that. Me being like,
whatever, 10
how
years.
How am I going to get in touch with Kevin Smith?
10 years ago or
Twitter's
whatever
it was.
Twitter's
not even a thing yet. Like, what do you mean how am I going to get in touch with Kevin Smith?
Now I know more about Kevin Smith through Twitter than I ever needed.
Ooh.
All right, Dan.
All right, beautiful.
Okay. That's a beautiful thing.
See?
And it can be if you have something that you need to bring,
here.
You know. It
we're here
have
because
to be
our friendship.
Compliment.
We're here because our friendship can take it.
Yeah.
No, I know. No,
it's something that you just didn't get to say. Bad, good, whatever.
Yeah.
You left the milk out.
I wish I had been smarter and listened to you before I made fun of Betty Servier and you wearing her T-shirt all the time.
Oh,
because
that's nice.
I used to just... And I didn't like her.
It was a Dutch band.
Who's wasn't a thing.
It
was
a Dutch indie rock band that I'm a big fan of. And I had their various T-shirts.
And then you made fun of the shirt?
I did. I made fun of the shirt and the band and was just very like dismissive of it. And then I listened to it and was like, oh, I kind of like this. And I'm an idiot now.
That's nice, that's man. Right. It was Will McRobb that laid that album on me. So we can thank him.
We can thank Will McRobb.
That's cool.
One thing I don't like.
Yes.
Here's something I don't like. We're flying out here on Virgin America. This guy farted literally for 5 hours straight. And it was like, it wouldn't be, there was not like a time
I'm agreeing with him.
More than 15 minutes where I would have clean air before I'd be like, what the fuck?
I have no idea.
I don't know. It was so bad and I knew it was his. That's the worst part.
Oh, sure. Because it wasn't
was
the kid
like
behind
trying
us.
Trying to ignore, I know it wasn't the.
It
kid
wasn't
behind
the girl
us.
In the yoga pants next to me.
No, it was. It were dirty Michael C. Marona farts, and they were. It was so raw and gross, and like I thought that I was going to get sick a couple times, and that's like truth.
For 5 hours,
it was. It was nonstop.
What did you eat? What happened?
I think that morning I probably had my usual.
You seem so
you
innocent.
Can still, but
peanut
you
butter
seem
puffins
so
from Barber's
you can
Bakery.
Still be, you can be
here in, here
you
in Petaluma, California.
Responsible farter.
Yeah,
you can be a responsible farter.
Okay,
this
Mike
goes back is not
to,
one. He does
no,
it all
he's
the time.
Drive
he,
responsibly.
He once farted into the microphone of our
podcast.
Our podcast.
Do we get it on tape?
Yes.
It was my own microphone. It wasn't like I befouled someone
right.
else's microphone.
No, that's not
own.
True. You befouled someone else's microphone.
No, that became my mic cover after that.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, it wasn't initially. And then we took the cover off and put it on his because your feces were in that mic cover.
I like it. I feel like
particles.
I feel like you guys, if I was split into two people, I'd be the two.
I'll be
you.
Arnold, right? And he'll be Danny DeVito?
Well, I feel like the two of you represent my different sides.
You can
you
get
know?
The weird intellectual, like, left of the dial
healthy,
thing.
Healthy,
you
yeah.
could get the, I'm healthy, thank you. I am healthy.
Sorry, Kurt characterized
it
that
was,
way.
Thank you. I drink smoothies for breakfast
you
every goddamn
have
day.
You eaten more quinoa than I have in the past
it
five
was,
years.
Thank you.
The intellectual wasn't really coming into it. It was more like, he's my never, fart never side, does. And you seem like we could go drink together.
Sure.
So, you know.
You're damn right.
That's all I need. Like, I'm like, I got a fart side and a drinking side.
I mean, I'll fart. I'm saying, I am more of a responsible farter.
Okay.
A reasonable farter.
Were you going to fire back with something? Because you said this goes back to...
This goes back to Pete and Pete because Will wrote this script called The Burping Room, which was based on his dad saying, I'm going to build a farting room for you because your farts are so bad. We made a 60-second... We made a 60-second in like 1990. It was a very early one.
It's
called The
it's
Burping
my
Room.
Favorite. It's my
it,
favorite
it
one.
It is so good because yeah. it's so weird. It's just like this... like black box background that we built this room in and he pulls down, I don't know, like my dad was a firefighter, so I would be in the firehouse and there's this thing that hooks up with the exhaust as the fire truck pulls in so the guys don't all die of cancer.
Yeah.
And it just looks like a big like smokestack tunnel and he would burp into it. This was a thing like
and it went
just,
to that room.
Yeah, it just looked like a duct, like a flexible duct,
yeah.
like a shiny aluminum
oh,
flexible
that is
duct.
So good.
And he would burp into it and it was so weird and they used the best sound effects and he's just like this kid completely, you know, with the bowl cut and a long like a turtleneck that came from like a huge man.
Yeah.
That is just that yeah. is dripping off of you that you cannot see your you can't see your hands because you're just holding it with like sleeves
and you're just burping
and
into
burping
it.
Burping
that's
into
so
the,
great.
Oh, it was great. It was great.
And where is Will McRobb now?
He's probably in Burbank.
No.
Yeah, I was Pacific asking about physically.
Palace.
Where is he physically?
Physically,
Pacific yeah. Palisades.
Physically, he's in a good place.
Yeah. Probably
mentally, he's not in a good place.
Probably his feet are level with his head right now.
Can you get the? Is Pete and Pete on DVD? Can it still be
the
bought?
First two seasons are on
yeah,
DVD?
Season one and season two.
I'm gonna buy it today. I'm going to Amoeba Records after this. I'm gonna pick one up.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
I bet you can find it there.
Nice.
Yeah, for a cool $47. Like,
oh, maybe.
I love Amoeba, but their DVDs
are like...
What you gotta
do is you gotta say, hey, can I be in that What's in My Bag thing? And then they'll give you $100. And
I
want to
do
buy
it.
Whatever you want.
And can I tell you something?
Does that work?
I gotta fucking air it out.
Oh.
I gotta air it out with
yeah.
you.
Yes.
There we go.
this guy, this this fucking guy has connections at Amoeba. He knows it's my favorite place on earth. He does auctions there once a month with Kristen Shaw, and there's slave auctions, which I think is in poor taste. But but they do these charity auctions.
Joe just stood up. He's fired up.
They do these charity auctions.
I've done three charity auctions.
I know, but you told me
in 3 months,
a year ago, you said you want to do a
hookup.
You don't want to do a what's in my bag? I go, it is literally a dream of mine to do a what's in my bag. And you go, I'll hook it up. Nothing.
Did I really?
Yes, you don't even remember.
No, what? I don't remember.
Joe, what's in my bag? They interview you at the place.
They give you $150 to shop, and then you go buy stuff, and then they do an interview with you, and they're like, "What's in your bag?"
You should do it. I did it, and it's great.
I want to do it so bad.
Well, Joe, Kurt, you got to check out what's in my bag.
Kurt told me
you got to check out what's in my bag.
I will.
I crushed that shit.
Can you get me on this?
I don't like to brag too much, but
I mean, I never personally set it up, so I'll look at my emails and see if I have actual.
Did you do
personal info?
No, you said this to me in person. You said, I can hook you up with that.
There's no record, in other words. You have no proof.
In fact,
that's why verbal agreements are busty, man.
It's bigger than this. He goes, this is exactly what he said. He goes, have you done a, he said it like this. He goes, have you done a what's in my bag? And I go, no. And he goes, well, that should happen. Well, I'll hook it up. Don't worry about it.
He planted the
literally.
He planted the seed and then turned off the water.
All right,
I hate that shit.
I'll do it. I'll get it. I'll make it happen.
All right,
because I'm the king of amoeba. I just make snap my fingers.
You're
and things
princess
happen.
Amoeba in my book. You guys were great. This was a great talk. Thanks for coming on. Do you want to plug anything if you want, please?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, we do a podcast also for Feral Audio called The Adventures of Danny and Mike.
So that makes us podcast cousins to you?
Oh,
or
yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
podcast brothers?
Yep.
Yep. All
Eskimo
right.
podcasters.
Yeah.
I love it. We should plug our live things.
Yeah.
Well, do you have any personal things to plug before?
No.
I have one thing. I'm San Francisco Punchline. Last weekend of August, meaning like the 30th into like September 2nd. I will be there headlining. Come out if you can.
Labor Day weekend.
Is that Labor Day weekend?
That's Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah. Great, it'll be packed.
So
No pressure, Joe.
Yeah.
We're doing a Sunday live podcast on the Sunday before Labor Day at Union Hall.
No, it is Labor Day. Oh yeah, nice. I guess it's Labor Day weekend.
Oh, there you
weekend.
Go. So plug that. Yeah, that's great.
Joe and I will be doing Emotional Hangs on September 23rd in Las Vegas as part of Scoops Fest. I'll be at the Halifax Pop Explosion on the 19th of October and Rumors in Winnipeg, Canada, October 26th through the 29th. And then Joe and I, again, down in Houston, Texas, Take It Fest, doing some Emotional Hangs.
That's in November, and we're also doing a couple double shows in Austin and Dallas. So anyway, we'll get you all that info.
That was fun.
Be careful in be careful in Canada.
Thanks.
Thank you. I will be careful in Canada.
Feral Audio.